Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, friends on Rocky Top. Good morning to the seagull commanders. Good morning to the fishermen and their miserable fish wives. Good morning to the mongers. Good morning to the conjurers. Good morning to the ocean wizards. Good morning to the ocean spring. Good morning to cranberry juice and cran apple. Because it's that time of year, and it's a pumpkin spice, cranberry, jelly time, turkey kind of year, right? And you had yourself a great turkey time last night with good old-fashioned turkey with cranberry dressing and stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy. And you feel like a real human being because you can stare at the rising sun and say to yourself, you son of a bitch, I had turkey. I had gravy. Even the English Navy could not stop it. Because it's Friday. It's Black Friday. Black Friday deals. I am going out of business again. Black Friday. Friday, November the 29th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's going to be, you know, January the 20th or something soon. The date that everybody says, I don't know, some new person has the new name of the old thing about the old stuff. The guy walks into the Casablanca and becomes king for a day. And then, you know, something else happens. Yeah, it's November the 29th, 2024. It is almost 6 a.m., but do you care? Because I live on the Olympic Peninsula, where men and women smoke cigarettes and drink beer. We chug coffee. We drive a truck. We shoot a buck. We ain't no cuck, because we're the men and women and grinkin' men and woe men and various peoples and Sasquatch of the Olympic Peninsula. We live according to the ancient ways. We obey the laws of Zorg, the master minstrel. It's Black Friday, and I'm going out of business again. When I was a kid in the 1980s, there were a number of interesting phenomena. One of them was USA Up All Night. Could you believe it? A network on 24 hours a day, and you'd have the craziest movies on at midnight, usually some type of Tromaville flick. Yeah. Toxic Avenger goes to Japan. Fucking Toxic Avenger. I'm going out of business, just like those commercials from the 80s. The rug factory, the rug warehouse, every week, the same fucking building, the same fucking rugs. They're going out of business. We're shutting things down. You won't see prices like this ever, ever again. We're going out of business, and this is a sale, and you can get in on it right now for very little money, right? Of course, the going out of business sale was as real as professional wrestling, which is as real as your, you know, elections. you're voting. Whether it's, you know, it's the Black Temptress, it's the Witch of the Mountains, it's Kamala Harris versus the Orange Viking King, the Strange Orangutan. I mean, really, you could call them anything you wanted to. You could call Trump whatever the hell you want to. You could call Kamala whatever the hell you want to. You put them in leotards, you put them into a ring. It makes as much sense to me. It's about as real as the going out of business sale, which means it's not real at all. It's a fiction that you buy into because you need to. Maybe you want to, maybe you like to, but whether it's want to, like to, or need to, you're doing exactly what they want you to do. I don't care if you voted Democrat or Republican. I don't care if you voted for Oliver Twist or Jill Stein. I don't care. The fact that you voted showed that you believed, that you had faith. You proved a form of dedication. It's a lot like the vaccine. I'm on the record, and I'm permanently banned from YouTube, more or less for this, that the vaccine was either poison or placebo. That's it. For a lot of people, I think it was just saline. It was nothing. You got a shot of saline. When Putin pulled off his Sputnik, which I think is kind of funny, if you think on that one a bit, there's a lot in there to unpack, right? Especially when it comes to outer space. But when Putin pulled off his Sputnik vaccine early on, he kind of stuck a middle finger at it and said, listen, I know this is bullshit. Reasonable people know this is bullshit. I will come up with a miracle vaccine. Worst case, it might have been the flu vaccine. Who the hell knows? And I'll give it to all the Russians. And magical blingo, the COVID is over. It's about that real, you know? But you might need to believe stuff, okay? This is an article from thescotsman.com. It was published on 9th of March, 2023, written by Laura Waddell. And here is the title. Critics of Robinson Crusoe make serious points about enduring messages of racism, sexism, and imperialism. Crusoe was not elevated to the canon for its literary style, argues Jack Robinson. When I think of Robinson Crusoe, I think not of a sunlit desert island, but of a long, cold corridor in a boys' school in which I am not allowed to run. I recently unearthed the intriguing book, Good Morning, Mr. Crusoe, by Robinson, nom de plume Charles Boyle, publisher of Micropress CB Editions. Reflecting on an upbringing at the posh end of education in the 1960s, it was published in 2019 to coincide with 300 years of Daniel Defoe's novel, a mainstay of children's literature, in Robinson's view, incorporated into an education system designed to promote and maintain imperialist ambitions. E.M. Forster was an earlier critic who described it as an English book, and only the English could have accepted it as adult literature, comforted by the feeling that the life, the adventure, blah, blah, blah. My mouse is doing something right now it shouldn't do, which is fun. It's always fun when technology fails to do anything useful, if you ask me. But basically, my computer is frozen up for a second. Great. I cannot read on because my wonderful machine is currently unstable. I should say the browser is. And if you ask me what kind of browser, I'll just tell you, we all have the same kind at this point. That's what I'll tell you. Yeah, it's frozen up. This sucks so much. This frickin' sucks. I hate it when this crap happens during a podcast. It just basically amounts to me being angry. So, thank you, stupid frickin' browser, for being stupid. I don't know what to tell ya. We'll all try to live through it. Fuck you, browser. God damn. And I thought this was going okay. Sorry about that. I went a little bit crazy there because, well, the simple truth is I don't have a very good computer. And if I'm not careful, it can lock up on me. It just isn't a very good computer. It's life. A lot of us don't have the things we think we need or want right now. Computers don't really fit into a need. They fit into a want. I know they tell you it has to be a need, but isn't that a kind of forcible driving down the road? You don't have to have a computer, right? But they create a world where if you don't, it's going to be inconvenient, right? I don't have to tell you. E.M. Forster was an earlier critic who described it as an English book, and only the English could have accepted it as adult literature, comforted by the feeling that the life of adventure could be led by a man duller than themselves, Boy Scout material. James Joyce was also unimpressed. The true symbol of the British conquest is Robinson Crusoe, who, cast away on a desert island, in his pocket a knife and a pipe, becomes an architect, a carpenter, a knife grinder, an astronomer, a baker, a shipwright, a potter, a saddler, a farmer, a tailor, an umbrella maker, and a clergyman. He is the true prototype of the British colonist. The whole Anglo-Saxon spirit is in Crusoe. The manly independence, the unconscious cruelty, the persistence, the slow yet efficient intelligence, the sexual apathy, the practical, well-balanced religiousness, the calculating taciturnity. Robinson is scathing of the racism and misogyny in this fantasy of solitary survival. In 1719, Robinson Crusoe brought onto the page certain assumptions of its time. That slavery's okay and can be squared with Christianity, that the function of women in society is to serve men, that people whose skin color is not white are savages, and did not challenge them. The book's long-lasting popularity, not least among those who took it upon themselves to decide what should be popular, which books to offer to children, sounds like public schools, and which not, largely derives from this failure to challenge. I believe many people see classic books, important works of art, so esteemed as to seem beyond reproach, as like a long, cold corridor in which they are not allowed to run. Okay, whatever, right? Whatever. This next article, if, you know, my bullshit computer doesn't crash on me, is coming from history.com. Again, technology is just what it is, right?
Dan, you're a bastard.
It's taking so long to load. Wow, this is a special Black Friday. It must be everybody's buying shit at Amazon right now. Everyone's online to get the new What's It. Everyone logged in. And yeah, there we go, finally shows up. This article, written by Sarah Pruitt, was published to history.com on November the 21st, 2024, Boblimp Doc. Title of the article, What's the Real History of Black Friday? The first recorded use of the term Black Friday was applied not to post-Thanksgiving holiday shopping, but to a financial crisis. Specifically, the crash of the U.S. gold market on September the 24th, 1869. Two notoriously ruthless Wall Street financiers, Jay Gould and Jim Fisk, worked together to buy up as much as they could of the nation's gold, hoping to drive the price sky high and sell it for astonishing profits. On that Friday, in September, the conspiracy finally unraveled, sending the stock market into freefall and bankrupting everyone from Wall Street barons to farmers. And I'm going to pause here. Isn't it so convenient that the architects of the narrative will make fun of conspiracy theories, but we so easily read this paragraph and the word conspiracy is used, but we're not supposed to mock this person because this person, Sarah, she's an architect of the narrative. Okay, let's keep going. The most commonly repeated story behind the Thanksgiving shopping-related Black Friday tradition links it to retailers. As the story goes, after an entire year of operating at a loss or in the red, stores would supposedly earn a profit or go into the black on the day after Thanksgiving because holiday shoppers blew so much money on discounted merchandise. Though it's true that retail companies used to record losses in red and profits in black when doing their accounting, this version of Black Friday's origin is officially sanctioned, but inaccurate. And officially sanctioned. I need to drink some, yeah. This version is the officially sanctioned but inaccurate story behind the tradition of Black Friday fuck. In recent years, another myth has surfaced that gives a particularly ugly twist to the tradition, claiming that back in the 1800s, Southern plantation owners could buy enslaved workers at a discount on the day after Thanksgiving. Though this version of Black Friday's roots, nice play on words, you fuck. Now I'm thinking of Kunta Kinte again. God damn, LeVar Burton and your saucer eyes. Your name is not, yeah, Toby. Your name is Kunta Kinte. Though this version of Black Friday's roots has understandably led to some to call for a boycott of the retail holiday, it has no basis in fact. The real history behind Black Friday, however, is not as sunny as retailers might have you believe. Back in the 1950s, police in the city of Philadelphia used the term to describe the chaos that ensued on the day after Thanksgiving, when hordes of suburban shoppers and tourists flooded into the city in advance of the big Army-Navy football game held on that Saturday every year. Not only were Philly cops not able to take the day off, but they had to work extra long shifts dealing with the additional crowds and traffic. Shoplifters also took advantage of the bedlam in the stores and made off with merchandise, adding to the law enforcement headache. By 1961, Black Friday had caught on in Philadelphia to the extent that the city's merchants and boosters tried unsuccessfully to change it to Big Friday in order to remove the negative connotations. The term didn't spread to the rest of the country until much later. However, as recently as 1985, it wasn't in common use nationwide. Sometime in the late 80s, however, retailers found a way to reinvent Black Friday and turn it into something that reflected positivity. But the author says positively, which means that I'm not the only one that doesn't proofread. Rather than negatively. Something that reflected positively. Well, rather than negatively. On them and their customers, the result was the red to black concept of the holiday mentioned earlier, and the notion of that day after Thanksgiving marked the occasion when America's stores finally turned a profit. The Black Friday story stuck, and pretty soon the term's darker roots about Philadelphia were largely forgotten. Since then, the one-day sales bonanza has morphed into a four-day event and spawned other retail holidays such as Small Business Saturday, Sunday, Cyber Monday. Stores started opening earlier and earlier on that Friday, and now the most dedicated shoppers can head right out after they eat their fucking turkey. Yeah. There you go. That is the story of Black Friday. And I gotta say, I kind of like the version from the 19th century. it sort of fits with the Friday from Robinson Crusoe. And if these things are all connected, you get this kind of weird vibe, don't you? You know?
Dan, Black Friday's not racist. It's not about... But you don't know, do you?
I mean, we're supposed to believe one version of a story one particular week. If you lived in the 1960s, at about the time... Yeah. If you lived in the 1960s at about the time of the Gulf of Tonkin event, and you read about the Gulf of Tonkin event, and I think it happened in 64, which is not remarkable, when you consider that JFK wanted to, supposedly, according to mythology, because I'm going to call it mythology, I don't have any way to verify any of this bullshit. If you say, well, Dan, there's a national archive. I know, and it could be a national fucking archive of bullshit. Sorry. You know, pick your favorite wrestler, that's all I can tell you. But according to mythology, John F. Kennedy was going to shut down the Vietnam War before it really started, before it went out of control. And of course he died. We don't know how he died. He was assassinated by a random McPoyle. He was killed by, you know, some Secret Service agent who didn't know how to use one of those new AR guns. Oh, they're dangerous. There are lots of versions of the bullshit that surrounds John F. Kennedy, and I can't tell you which is true. I really can't. It's buried in so much smoke and mirrors bullshit at this point that all we can really say is maybe there was a guy called JFK, and he probably got killed somehow. But beyond that, who the fuck knows? If you lived around the time of Gulf of Tonkin, you might have believed the story that the North Vietnamese attacked us with torpedo boats and torpedo planes. They tried to destroy our precious, weak-ass naval ships that can't possibly defend themselves against third-world monkey children. Because that's part of the story, too. If you've ever studied World War II, if you've spent any time studying the way in which the United States executed the war, operated, planned, managed the war, specifically in terms of propaganda, and if you ever did a compare and contrast between the propaganda that depicted the Germans and the Italians versus the propaganda that depicted the Japanese, what you'll find is a very sharp delineation. It's almost as if Europeans are capable of evil, but the Japanese are just dumb, stupid savages. Europeans can be quite evil because they're so fucking brilliant, but they're fucking, oh God, those Nazis. But the Japanese are just monkeys hanging in trees. If you look at some of the propaganda cartoons from World War II, the Japanese are often depicted as monkeys in trees. So when you think about the Vietnam War, or better yet, the Korean War sandwiched between them, it wasn't really the same as the war against the Nazis or the war we envisioned against the Soviets. And yeah, you'd have to admit there's a racist aspect to it, but it's very convenient. Like, our enemies are savages until they can somehow take us out. They can attack us. They can launch their torpedo boats. Because how the fuck would we know, right? Why would we be prepared? We're in a war zone. It's the Cold War. These are naval ships of war. Why the fuck would they be ready for a torpedo attack? That's called sarcasm. Dan, that's mean, is it though? It seems accurate. And then I think a worthy compare and contrast would be the story of the Gulf of Tonkin compared with a few years later, like 3 years later, the story of the USS Liberty. We don't talk about the USS Liberty. We know about the Gulf of Tonkin. We certainly know about those evil, grimy North Vietnamese communists who we essentially led along during World War II by handing out pamphlets translated to French and Vietnamese of the U.S. Declaration of Independence. But holy fuck, Ho Chi Minh took that shit seriously. And when we realized that we didn't really take it seriously, he did. He switched sides. it's been said many times that somebody like Ho Chi Minh could have easily been somebody we could have funded completely, not just during World War II against the Japanese, which we did do. We helped him during World War II against the Japanese. And then he took some of our guns and ammo and turned them on the French. Like Fidel Castro, Ho Chi Minh would have been 100% okay being whatever type of kick-ass local dictator being funded by the United States. Maybe he had a few criteria that probably seemed a little bit left-wing to, I don't know, yeah, Robinson Crusoe. But to normal people, it would have been reasonable. But that's not what happened. And now we look back and the history is different, but do we really know? This Black Friday thing, who knows what it is? I know that when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, that's when it started getting worse and worse. And then by the time I was in my 20s, you already had people joking, pretty soon they're going to open up the malls on Thursday, you know, during dinner. And people know they'll never do that. How could they do that? Families need to be eating their turkey. And now there are scenarios where people just skip Thanksgiving, where it's not about it. And again, I think the history of Thanksgiving is definitely a mixed history. I don't think anybody has a right to say they fully understand it. It was fed to me as some type of garbage as a kid, and it truly made less and less sense as I got older. It really did. It was a story that made sense as a child. But as an adult, it doesn't make any sense. It's a lot like Robinson Crusoe. It's a lot like Black Friday. When you're a kid, you can be convinced that, oh, why don't we go to the mall instead of having Thanksgiving dinner? And as a kid, in your head, it might seem, well, that's okay. That's no big deal. That's normal. But how did we get used to that? And if your comeback is, well, that's just free enterprise, Dan, I have to call bullshit. I do. I don't think we live in that kind of economy. I know that that pisses off some of you to the point that you troll and you stalk me. 50 followers, and my odds of getting stalkers is, it looks like 1 in 10. We're going to talk about some odds coming up next, right? Yeah, for somebody with so few recorded followers and so much, you know, censorship, it is weird how many stalkers I've had. It's just really weird. I'm not saying, it could be I'm just that shitty of a human being. It could be. That dovetails with the whole fucking I'm Hitler. And the fact that Black Friday could very well be about discount sales on slaves and hookers. Black Friday sale. Black Friday. 1864. The southern states are putting on a sale. Going out of business. Going out of business. That storm in Georgia is rolling up the Carolinas. Going out of business. Going into the wilderness. It's the Confederacy, and it's a going out of business sale, half off on slaves. Going out of business. Well, Dan, that's just a shitty thing to say. Yeah, is it though? So I'm going to read an article from Zero Hedge, even though I promised I'm going to go 100% fiction. The real truth is I'll probably end up 50-50, more rather 60-40 or 70-80. Dan, those numbers don't make sense. Well, this next story, if you understand numbers, won't make sense either, my friend, my Sovietologist friend. Headline, Man allegedly part of the Rothschild banking family dies in mysterious Hollywood Hills house fire. This is written by the nom de plume Tyler Durden, published yesterday at 5:40 p.m. ostensibly New Jersey fucktard time. The internet is abuzz after a man identified by local media outlets as a possible member of the Rothschild banking family died in a mysterious house fire in the Hollywood Hills area on Wednesday. Local ABC7 News reports that fire crews responded to a house fire on the 8500 block of Lookout Mountain Avenue, that sounds expensive, on Wednesday afternoon. While battling the blaze, firefighters discovered a deceased man inside the home. Neighbors identified him as Will Rothschild. Oh, Bill, I know you, according to the media outlet. The outlet further reported, Rothschild was described by neighbors as an eccentric millionaire, or even billionaire, with multiple properties and dozens of expensive cars, adding that Rothschild was said to have lived as a bit of a recluse. ABC7's Jory Rand commented, It turns out the man who lived there might have been a billionaire. The plot thickens. It does, Zero Hedge. So, fun fact, about 3,000 people in the United States, at least the last couple years, roughly 3,000, let's just use that as a starting number, 3,000 people die every year in house fires in the United States. That's 3,000 out of 334 million. There are roughly 800 billionaires in the United States, 800, which means that if roughly 3,000 people in the United States die in a house fire every fucking year, roughly 3,000 people, of that 3,000, the portion that would be billionaires is, well, way less than 1%. In fact, let's say it's way less than 1/100th of a percent. It's just way less. So you've got 3,000 people who die out of 334 million. You've got roughly 800 people in this country who are billionaires. If you think on this, and you don't have to do a lot of math, and it's more of a Bayesian problem, by the way. So you're going to use the Bayes theorem to solve it, and I'm not that interested in solving it today. I would simply tell you that the odds of a Rothschild dying in a house fire is probably roughly equivalent to the odds of any random person being killed by a meteorite. And that's just a guess. If you come back to me and say that, well, they're slightly different, the meteorite is 1 in 300 billion, whereas the odds of a Rothschild is 1 in 500 million, or whatever, and you might come back and say they are different orders of magnitude, but I gotta be honest with you. Without doing the Bayes theorem, without turning this into a really boring podcast about statistical analysis, if 3,000 people in this country die in a house fire every year, and if in the United States there are only 800 billionaires, then you've got to understand that 3,000 isn't 3,000 for a billionaire. In fact, it's not even one. In fact, I would suggest you research over the last 50 years how many people, not billionaires, because that's a stupid analysis, but how many people within an income bracket have died from house fires on a yearly basis, i.e. people who are in the 1/2 of 1/2 of 1/2%. People like that. How many have died in house fires? I'm not trying to be a dick, but it's a lot like the whole how many steel frame buildings have collapsed because of fire in the last 160 years. How many? This is a trick question. It's a rhetorical question. It's a true question. It's not one most people who are very confused right now want to answer. As a Sovietologist, you can look at this problem from simply a statistical perspective and say, it looks weird. It doesn't mean that he didn't die in a house fire. Who the fuck knows? But it does look weird. But it gets worse, okay? It's not just that 800 people out of 334 million, goddamn. 800 out of 334 million are billionaires. But most people, and this is well studied, like you are 5 to 10 times, depending upon the study you look at, you are 5 to 10 times more likely, okay, so it's not an equal game here, 5 to 10 times more likely to die in a house fire if you're poor. So it's not just that there are very few billionaires, but that your odds of dying in a house fire decrease as your wealth increases, and it's not linear. So when you look at a story like this, even if you don't know what happened, you should be able to rationally say, this looks weird. It looks strange. And here's something else that's strange about it, that we know about it. How many people died in house fires yesterday? I mean, if it's 3,000 a year, it might have only been a couple, right? 3 or 4. But my guess is a lot of people died in house fires yesterday, probably more than a couple. So probably not a lot, but more than just one. And yet somehow this is an important story we need to be focused on. That's weird too. Anyways, I don't know that we can say much more about the story. I came across a comment on Zero Hedge related to it that's a lot, it's very much along the lines of what I was saying in January 2020 about popping smoke. And it's funny, it reads almost like one of those podcasts, and I would say a lot of people are beginning to understand that maybe a lot of the noise, the Sturm und Drang, since early 2020 has been make-believe bullshit. You know, peppered with some actual murder and trauma, but mostly strategic military psychological warfare. And then the only question is, what the fuck are they hiding? It doesn't have to be more complicated. I can be 100% wrong about the 5-year window of Boblimpdok, whatever the fuck that means, right? But it doesn't mean they're not hiding something. And it could be the bank holiday, you know, the big bank holiday. It could be that. It could be the fact that the dollar is in collapse and we're the ones. We're mainly the target. Like, that's the funny thing about that idiot the other day, is that he inadvertently supported one of my theories, and that is that we are the target. It's not Mexico. It's not Brazil. It's not Christmas Island in fucking Australia, you tard. But the United States is the principal target of this, you know, psychological warfare. And the reason is because we are the ones who have to endure the consequences of the collapse of the dollar. And the people in power, you know, they don't really want you to come for them and cut their heads off. You know, who knows? Who the fuck knows? I can just tell you, it seems unlikely that any Rothschild would die in a fire. But who knows? Maybe a lot of them have. And that kind of makes you ask some questions, doesn't it? Anywho, it's Friday, it's Black Friday. Do you know where your Friday is, Robinson Crusoe? It's Black Friday, it's Friday time, we're all Friday fighting, we're crazy Friday. We're gonna all load into vehicles and go to the mall and find ourselves a special place in the sun. There's an HD TV or a game console. There's some new record or CD. I don't know. Do they sell CDs anymore? There's some Nike shoes for $400. There's some Adidas for $250. There's a pair of jeans, only $35. There's a pair of slacks, only $22. Don't turn blue. Don't have an infarct. Don't break your heart. There's a special t-shirt or song or book or game for you. Black Friday's here. Slaves on sale. Philadelphia, the home of liberty. Where that Liberty Bell is, it's Black Friday. going crazy because of the Army-Navy game. Maybe it all does go back to the day after Thanksgiving, 1864. In Richmond, Virginia, there's a going out of business sale. Get your slaves. Get your Susannas. Get your Rufuses. Get your Sambos. Get your Black Friday. Get your Black Friday. Just like the little book, I'm not a crook. It is Friday, 6:22 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. Sorry I spazzed out because my computer crapped out. We all got problems. And some of the problems are real, and some of the problems are kind of fake, like a billionaire dying in a house fire. It could happen, but it smells like burning plastic, which means it smells like fake. But even if it is fake, what does it mean? What does it mean? It's like Trump. I don't think Trump has any real power, no more than I think the Biden brain or Kamala or Obama or Bush or Trump or any people, blah, blah, blah. None of these people have any real power, but they are symptomatic. It is a lot like looking at power changes in the Soviet Union in the 1960s and 70s. It's not that you pretend that Brezhnev or Khrushchev or Antonov or some other jackass has any real power. They probably don't have any power. Gorbachev, you know. But the fact that they're the ones, that they're the targets that you're supposed to put the crosshairs on, that has meaning. You should interpret that. Trump represents a means by which some pretty crappy things could be done that the Trump supporters actually don't really get yet, like gun control. I mean, you lived through 2020. You saw how Trump handled the quote-unquote pandemic. And I know y'all want to say, well, he didn't know and he didn't understand, but you were the same idiots telling us that he played eight-dimensional chess 8 years ago. So please, pick a fucking lane, shithead. Is he a super brilliant mastermind who has total control, or is he an incompetent little child who can't possibly be held responsible for being president in 2020? Because it was a fucking nightmare. No matter what your interpretation is, there are lawsuits right now stacking up against every major hospital system in the country. Hospital systems will be in the courthouse, virtual or not, for the next 50 fucking years because of the disaster of 2020, whatever your fucking interpretation. He was president. Was he an incompetent little baby child, or did he have control? If you wanted to take guns from people, you wouldn't have an Obama do it. He might soften people up. Who knows? He might get them to buy more guns. You wouldn't have Kamala or who the fuck knows who Biden is as your symbolic leader of the band. You would have some good, kind, make America great again, Reagan-type bullshit. You definitely have a friend of Israel. If you wanted to collect all the guns and do it the sneakiest, shittiest, most passive-aggressive and cowardly way possible, the way you would do it is with Trump. Okay, if you want to get all fearful, that's the little bit of fearful truth I'll give you. You wouldn't do it with Kamala. You wouldn't do it with anyone else. And think about this too. A love fest is happening. A love fest. All kinds of crazy freaks are coming out of the woodwork to either denounce Biden or Kamala, or to basically say, I could have been wrong about Trump. I don't know what's coming. If you ask me, I don't think there's the juice. I think that a lot like people saying there's not going to be an election this next time, I think eventually the boy who cried wolf, the reason why that's a good story is because eventually there is a wolf. I can't really tell you for sure what Trump represents. If you want me to tell you I think he represents mourning in America, well, gee, that would be fucking nice. But even the Reagan thing was bullshit. So if Trump is a more bullshit version of the Reagan years, then fuck. This is going to be dumb and stupid really fast. But I don't think there's the juice. I don't. It's like the going out of business sale. Eventually, the going out of business sale is real. Eventually, the business ceases to exist. It will never be again. Happy Black Friday. Happy Black Friday. Have a great rest of your weekend. Remember that Black Friday is the day that we celebrate the day, the night they tore old Dixie down, and it's a going out of business sale. Joan Baez is singing the song, "We're going out of business." You know, you can come down and get your Black Friday on Black Friday, but next year's Black Friday is going to be a Blue Tuesday, a blues day. And then the blues is born in 1865, Thanksgiving.